Take our Bibles together and turn into the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And we want to look first at verse 19 of chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with verse 19. And there we read, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now turn with me to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm 4 and verse 8. And there we read, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." That's not Psalm 4 and 8, that's 5 and 8. Psalm 4 and 8 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." Verse 8 is, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." It took me 3 times to get that verse, but we finally got it. And then in Matthew 4 and 4, that's what I must have been thinking of. Matthew 4 and 4. "But he answered and said unto them, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then finally in 2 Timothy 3:16. And there we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, we would like to entitle what we're speaking about this morning, "Living with Eternity's Values in View." Now, notice what I said, "Living with Eternity's Values in View." Now, this passage in Matthew chapter 6 contains some of the most revolutionary teachings of our Lord and some of the most neglected. By you, Christian, by you who have professed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm looking around me this morning and I don't see anyone that has not professed the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. I don't see anyone that is that perhaps has not done this. But we live with eternity's values in view. Or freedom, now listen, living with eternity's values in view, or freedom from anxiety. Or we could say, or security for the future. Now, living with eternity's values in view, as we have sung in that little chorus. And then we live with the freedom of anxiety. We are free from that because the Lord said so. Or we have security for the future. Now, I'd like for us to notice in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 19, we have these words lay up, and we will be looking at the word lay throughout what we're speaking about this morning. Now, the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ says is don't lay up. That's what he's telling us here upon this earth. Now, he's not saying don't prepare for the future. We do that. But we don't prepare for the future with anxiety. We don't prepare for the future with fright in our heart. We lean upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord tells us in this passage of Scripture not to do certain things and to do certain things. Now, if we're not going, if it's the Word of God, if this is the Word of God, what are we going to do with those things that He says for us to do and not to do? Now, if this is the Word of God, so if it isn't the Word of God, what are you going to do with this Bible? What are we going to do? One or the other. We are not listening to the Lord Jesus Christ in all His words. And we read there in Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's every jot, every tittle, every bit of it. But the Lord is concerned about people then, and oh, how He must be concerned with people today in the affluent society in which we live. He says, don't lay up, don't store up treasures here upon this earth. The Lord is trying to tell you and tell me, listen, my friend, there's no security in material things. He's trying to tell us that. And we amass a great deal of material things, and we make a will, and after we're gone, it's gone. There's nothing for us except for the kids, perhaps, to fight over. We amass this, and the Lord says we are doing this to our detriment. We are not listening to what He says. The Lord wants you to use a bank, but perhaps not the kind of bank about which you're thinking, not the kind of bank in which I work. He's not saying that. He says, don't lay up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Everything, then, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I do to amass a material wealth upon this earth is subject to rust, is subject to corruption by a moth, or is subject to be stolen by those who break through and steal. So, He wants us to make wise investments. And isn't that what we think that we like to do? We need to make wise investments. Not like the savings and loans in a lot of banks today. Those are not wise investments. And you even look at the giants in the financial world. And you look at IBM, way up there on the pedestal. But their profits for the second quarter fell 90%. You see, those things can, moth can corrupt, rust can corrode, and those things can happen. And the Lord says, don't store up treasures. Don't depend upon material things. My Christian friend, listen to what the Lord is saying. If this is His Word, why are we not listening to Him? And if it isn't His Word, then turn this thing to close it and throw it away. If it isn't His Word. And so, you see, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then He says in verse 20, I want you to invest. I want you to invest, but now look where He wants you to put your treasures. And He says now in verse 19, lay not up. But now he comes to the positive and he says, but lay up for whom? What's that next word? Yourselves. It is a personal relationship that you have with Christ and with the investments that you're making. Lay up for yourselves. Lay up these treasures in the heaven where investments are not subject to loss. Did you know that? You lay up treasures in heaven and they're not subject to loss. Because what does the Lord say? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. There's not going to be any corruption there. There are not going to be any thieves there. There's not going to be any stealing there. So he says, lay up. And God keeps records. God is better than any computer that is ever built, because without God there couldn't be any computer. But God keeps records. And we're told in Romans 14 and 10, for we all shall stand where? Before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, if any man's work abides, which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. The Lord Jesus keeps record, and there will be a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You want to be saved that way? I don't. I don't want to be saved that way. I want to lay up treasures in heaven. I want to store up things that please the Lord. Now let me ask you, are you making deposits? This is very simple for us to understand. If you have a checkbook, that checkbook is no good if you don't have what? You don't have money in the bank. It's no good, is it? The Lord wants us to make deposits, and He wants us to make deposits, and He tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, here's these words again, laying up. He says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may, here are these words again, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We need to get a firmer grip on just what eternal life is. Now don't get me wrong, eternal life is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and our trusting in Him. But we need to get a firm grip on just what that is. We need to lay hold of it. And we need to have a firm grip upon that. And I want us to note in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, if you'll just turn there for a moment, Galatians 5 and verse 22. And there the Apostle Paul tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against which there is no law. He names nine things there. Now, there are not nine fruits. There's only one. You are to be like Christ. It's singular here. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and it's you and I are to be like Christ. And our fruit is Christ-likeness. And it's singular, and it's not produced by human energy. That is what works are produced by. But we produce this, or it is produced in us, by what? By whom? The Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is, and the fruit in you and in me is grown as the branch abides in the vine by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we produce fruit. Now, we go back to Matthew chapter 6, and he says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me ask you today, be honest. Be honest with the Lord, because He knows your heart. He knows it. Jeremiah 17 and 9 tells you that He does. Who can know it? He does. The Lord searcheth the deep things of the heart. He knows your heart. Now, listen, don't be lying to the Lord, because you're going to get in trouble if you do. And He says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure in the safety deposit box down at the bank? I've seen people that way. I used to deal with millionaires, and they weren't happy at all. They always wanted more money. Are we like them? We talk about the millionaires. But is our heart in our house, in our clothing, in our what we eat, or what we wear, whatever it is that where our heart is, or is our heart fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Now listen, I did not say this. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, for where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we could also turn it around. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. You see, upon things. We're not concerned about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're concerned about me, and we're concerned about the future when God takes care of the future, because our future is secure in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could ask the question, as they asked back in Exodus chapter, I think it's chapter 17 and verse 7, is God with us or not? Is the Lord with us or not? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, did Jesus mean what he said? Did he mean this? Is your heart right with God? We used to have a chorus, how about your heart? Is it right with God? Is your heart right with God? And we see this in verse 21. This word heart, we get that comes from the Greek word, and as we use it today, it's K-A-R-D-I-A, cardia. And we have this taken quite often, an electrocardiogram. How about your heart? The thoughts and the feelings of your being, are they the way that they should be? Are they controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit? And are you yielding to Him? Or are you fretting and worrying and doing all these kind of things? When you do, listen, my friends, when you do that, you're bringing reproach to Christ, because Christ said, don't do it. Christ said, don't do it. You are in His hands. Our times are in His hands. And oh, He's telling us here, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also, and vice versa, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Now notice in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Our eyes need to be on Christ. And if the eye is pure, the whole body will be illuminated. If we have our eyes on Him, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as we're told in Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If the eye is pure, the whole body will be illuminated. But if the eye is clouded, evil thoughts, as we're told in Mark's Gospel chapter 7, the first thing that proceedeth out of the heart are evil thoughts. So if the eye be clouded, evil thoughts and desires are the things that will control you. You're in deep spiritual darkness, and oh, how deep that darkness can be. Listen, my friend, a single desire for God's interest is what your eye should be, and if it's not, it is a single desire for two worlds. You want to try to please God, and you want to try to please yourself. It cannot be. You have to deny self if you're going to please Christ. That is the Word of God, but we don't want to do that. So what am I to do? Am I going to serve God or money? Now, I want you to notice that the Lord says in verse 24, notice what He says. Now, I did not say it. The Lord says it. It's impossible. What the Lord is saying here, it's impossible for you to serve two masters. You either serve a lie, which is of the devil, or you serve the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said that He's the Father of lies. He has been that way from the beginning. So you either serve one of two masters. The Lord says it is impossible to serve two. No man, listen, I didn't say that. No man can serve two masters. They are rivals, one against the other, lying against the truth. We need to believe what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us. And He says, for either He will hate the one, and He will love the other, or else He will hold to the one and despise the other. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus is saying. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon means money or property or an estate or anything of that nature. God says, or anything which in which one puts his or her trust. You cannot serve God and serve these other things. Now, we need these other things, but we're not a slave to them. And many people are a slave to that. I just have to have a better place. We're going to see about this, what the Lord says. I have to have better clothes. We're going to see about this. I do not get to eat the right kind of food. We're going to see about this. What does the Lord say about this? The Lord goes back again, and he says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Or where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. And then the Lord himself says, therefore doth my Father love me. Now listen. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down. There's that word again, those words. I lay down my life that I might take it again. And he laid down his life for you and for me, and should we not care that he did? Should we not care and listen to him? Are we willing to listen to him in John 3:16 and then not listen to him in the rest of the scriptures? The Lord says, it's impossible for you to serve two masters. Now let me ask you, which one are you serving? You read this scripture and you see what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. In Proverbs, in chapter 7 and verse 1, the writer of the Proverbs says, my son, keep my words, and here are these words again, and lay up my commandments with thee. Lay up my commandments with thee. And in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2, the Lord says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it, there are those words again, lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you did not lay it to heart. Are you anxious this morning? Are you over anxious this morning? In verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. If you're saved, in whose hand is your life? What does he say in John's Gospel chapter 10? In whose hands are your life? The Lord Jesus Christ. No man shall pluck them out of my what? My hand. So, if you're saved, where is your life? It is in the hand of Christ. It is doubly sure in the hand of God. So, we need to realize that as we look here in verse 25, therefore, listen, I say, listen, this is the Lord speaking. I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, if we fret and fume about our life, are we not then doing this against the Word of God and against what the Lord Jesus Christ has said? Now, doesn't that say it there? And I'm not taking it out of context. Doesn't it say it there? The Lord Jesus Christ says that we as Christians, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, because your life is hid where? In Christ. Your life is hid with him. So take no thought for your life. Now, I don't have all the things to eat that Mary has or Willie has. What does the Lord say about this? What does he say about this? Take no thought for your life what you shall eat. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 5, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will take care. If we listen to him, oh, we'll be surprised how much he'll take care. But we don't listen to him, and that's the reason a lot of people are in trouble, and they're anxious, and they're over-anxious. And the Lord says, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. The Lord wants us to drink of him. Drink, oh, the wonders of the Lord, and depend upon him. Now, we're not talking about not working nor being lazy. I know in Thessalonians it says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. We're not talking about that. We're talking about worrying about, fretting about, fuming about, but not trusting upon the Lord. And this is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be joyful children. He wants us to be happy children. And he wants this love of the Spirit to show through us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. He wants us to see just what He can do for us. And He says, so take no thought what you shall drink, nor for your body. You know, the problem today with us about our bodies is we don't know when to push back from the table. That's the problem, isn't it? And we're taking thought for our body. You know, we spend money, and I use the right pronoun there, and I said we, and I'm using myself in that. We do this, but we're not honoring God when we do it. We don't push back from the table, and then we want to see how many calories is not in this, how many calories is not in that, and how much exercise we have to do. When if we would have listened to the Lord in the first place, we wouldn't have to do that. There wouldn't be any diet programs. There wouldn't be this, but we don't listen to the Lord. The Lord says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, and what you shall put on. Well, I only got 15 or 20 dresses to wear. I only have 30 suits to wear. I don't have anything to do this. The Lord says, that's wrong. You can only wear one suit at a time unless you're uncomfortable. You'd be awful hot if you wore two of them. And some of you ladies in the olden times, I think you wore about 16 petticoats at one time, but they don't do that anymore. And so you can only wear one suit and one dress at a time. So why take thought when the Lord, we don't have any notice of Him wearing anything that was outlandish, because when they crucified Him, they took a purple robe, and put upon Him, which would signify His kingship, but they were mocking Him. He said, I don't have any place to call my own. I don't have any place to lay my head. He said, you come and see where I live. But you see, that preacher's just talking, and I'm not going to pay a bit of attention to him when we get out of here. Well then, my friend, if he is, it's not the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. We're not listening to what God says, and we will never be the right kind of Christians until we listen to what God says. God does not want us to be the way that He doesn't want us to be. And He says, and what you should put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? What about this life that you have, this spiritual life that you have? It's an eternal life, and shouldn't you be concerned what treasures you're going to have out in the future? Shouldn't you be concerned with that and not concerned with what is going on today and fretting and fuming about this and not trusting in God? Listen to what He says. Listen to what God is saying to you and to me. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Look out your window any morning. Look at the birds. God provides for them. Sometimes down home, it's real dry here in South Carolina. It hasn't been this year. But I've noticed in years past, dry, and there's nothing for the birds to drink. But all of a sudden, the automatic sprinklers come on, and the birds have lots to drink. And they all flock around. God provides, and just as sure as I'm standing here, God provided them through the sprinklers. God provides for them. And He says, the fowls of the air. And He says, they don't sow not. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever seen a dead bird that was not shot, that was not hit by a car, or something like that? How many of you have ever seen a dead bird like that? You don't see them, do you? And there's millions of them out there. God takes care of them. You know, I don't know where they go and what happens to them. But God says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather in the barns. I have lots of barns, but I don't have enough. And the Lord said, thou fool. You see, this is what He's talking about. Gathering and gathering and gathering, when all we need is for today. You only live for today. And this is what He's saying. You see, He says, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, for nor gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He takes care of them. As I said, you never see a bird starving to death. He takes care of them. Are ye not much better than they? You have a soul. Are you not much better than the birds? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 18 inches to your stature? Now, if we could do that, we'd all be in the NFL, wouldn't we? If we could add 18 inches to our stature. That's what a cubit is there, about from here to here. And so he's saying that you can't do that by thought. Why worry about it? If you're 5'7", be happy that you're 5'7" and not 5 foot. If you're 5 foot, be happy that you're 5 foot and not 7 foot. You know, I think it would be a lot better and a lot more easy to walk through this world being 5 foot than it would be 7 foot. For after you're through playing basketball, you're just something that's out of the way. You can't hardly even get through a door. You have to duck your head to get through a door. So, you see, we always want to be something that we are not. But we need to listen to what God says. And verse 28, "And why ye take ye thought for raiment?" Listen to what he's saying. Solomon made, as the Bible says, as best as I could figure out, about $22 million a year. And that was a lot of cash back then, I tell you. It's a lot of cash now, but it doesn't seem to mean as much. Solomon made about $22 million a year. And the Lord Jesus himself saying, Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of the lilies of the field. And yet, look and see what he says about this. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin, but I take care of them. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We're too concerned with our lives being centered around things. And that's not what the Lord wants us to be. Wherefore, verse 30, if God so clothe the grass of the field, and it's here today, and then it's used for fuel in the oven tomorrow, he says, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to grasp those words. They are just as important as John 3:16. He wants us to be happy Christians, glowing Christians, gleaming Christians as we go through this world. He wants us to be a testimony for Him, a testimony for His very own self. There he says, therefore, verse 31, therefore, take no thought. Now that's thought. What he says. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? The Lord says, I want you to depend on me. That's one of the hardest things that we have to learn, is to depend upon the Lord and to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be able to be listening to Him. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's why He came into this world, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. That's another reason that He came into the world, and to guide us and to lead us into all truth. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things. He must be talking to saved people, because He's not a heavenly Father to those who are unsaved. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first. You know, this word seek is the word zakwa, Z-A-W-K-A-K. And it means to strain. To strain for. Seek ye. It takes straining to do this. Seek ye first. And first here is the word proton, P-R-O-T-O-N in the Greek. And it means at the beginning or first of all. So seek first of all or at the beginning. Strain for it, what God wants you to have. Strain for it in the spiritual way, not in the materialistic way. Strain for what God wants you to have. So notice he says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, turn over to chapter 7 and verse 7, just over a page in your Bible probably. And it says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Go to Him. Not to someone else, go to Him. Bring your desires, bring your requests, make them known unto God. Because the one who died for you is seated there by God and on His throne, and He's the one who makes intercession for you, and He wants you to have what you need, and He will supply all your what? What does He say? My God shall supply all your needs. You see, He wants this. So, notice this, and He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, what is His righteousness? Now, this is a Greek word that says diosune. And that means equity of character. Try it. The Lord says, prove me in Malachi 3 and 10. Prove me. Look at the equity of God's character and you'll never find a flaw. And so we seek the righteousness of God. And He says, do it first. Do it first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now notice, He says, if we do that, all these what? Things that we've been talking about shall be added unto you without worry, without fret, without fuming. All these things. Now, are you listening to what God is saying? Not to what I'm saying, because I've been taking the Word and we've been going right down to it in an expository way, and we've been listening to what God is saying. Do you know Him? Have you looked out the equity of God, searched out the equity of God? Do you know Him? The Apostle Paul, perhaps... in reading the Scriptures, you would think he was probably perhaps the greatest Christian of whom we read. He may not have been, but we can think that. And I don't know that there would have been any greater. But he says in Philippians 3:10, that I might what? Know Him. That I might know Him. Let's just turn there, Philippians 3 and 10. And look at this and see what this man who is a great preacher of the faith and he... was really what God would want him to be. But he says in verse 7, let's look there. Philippians 3 and 7. But what things were gained to me, these I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless. Now, notice those things. Notice those things. But what things? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all what? Things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now notice what he is saying. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness he's talking about back in chapter 6, the righteousness of God, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the righteousness that he's speaking about, that I may know Him and His equity and everything about Him, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death. Do we want to be that way? Are we desirous to be that way? Let me ask you that. Be honest. But you see, you're rebelling against Christ if you don't want to be. If you have things in mind before you have Christ. But He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. For other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, verse 34. Don't center our lives around things, he says. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's God's Social Security program. Did you know that? That's the Social Security program of God. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. God has a Social Security program. And you have to contribute to it, just like you have to contribute about 7 point some percent today, about 7.7 6% or somewhere around that, 15.3% for the worker and the employer. God has a Social Security program, and He wants you to lay up treasures for that, and it gains interest, and it will be profitable. But don't lay up for yourself things here upon the earth. Listen to David. As I said before in Psalm 37 and verse 5. Is that verse 5? I don't think it is. I think it's 25. 25, yes. Psalm 37 and verse 25. He says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, and nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of His own. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. We sing that song. But do we? And then we go right out and fret. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What kind of a house am I going to have? And fret and fret and fume and put things before Christ. And that's the reason, my friend, we're not committed to Him the way that we should be. We're not. We can't say with the Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but to those also that love His appearing. That will love His appearing. Can we stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ? Are we going to stand there and be guilty of what of the things of which I've spoken this morning? Are we going to do that? If you're saved, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not, then Romans 4:14-10 is not true, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're told in another place to give an account of all the things that we've done in the body since we've been saved. What about are things a priority in your life? Do they blink on and off like a neon sign in your very thoughts? Things, things, things. Can you not get your mind off of things and get them on Christ? Are they on things right now? Listen to me. Are you not listening to the Word of God? Or are you worried about what you're going to have for dinner, what you're going to do in swimming this afternoon, or something like that? Listen, my friend, you don't have your mind on the right things, because the Bible says, let this mind be in you as what? Let this mind be in you as is in Christ Jesus. And we're not listening to Him. We want eternal life, but we want things first. We want to go to heaven, but we want to have things the way that we want to have them. That's not what God intends for us. God says in verse 33, and practically every child in any Sunday school can repeat this verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but we forget the rest of it. And all these things shall be added to you. What things? The things about which He's speaking about in the context. If you go clear back to the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus talks about giving. He says, take heed how you give. He says, don't give to be seen. Take heed how you pray. Don't pray to be seen. He tells us about this, and He even teaches us how to pray and about fasting. All these things. They're all the things that God wants us to be are in His Word, in His guidebook for you and for me, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will take these things and reveal them unto you. He will take the things of Christ and make them real unto you if you so desire. As we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, number 527, oh, how this needs to be our thought and our prayer. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. Teach me Thy way. Number 527.